I know. I can't see anymore. All right. This is a very special Shabbos. We have an additional Torah reading from Shaspara, which according to many authorities is actually a biblical reading, and that's a discussion in and of itself. So we're going to learn a mimer that the Rebbe recited on Shabbos Parshas Kisiso, which was Parshas Para in the year Tov Shin Mem Beis, 1982. It's a portion of the mimer. We're going to skip the first paragraph. The first paragraph talks about the idea that there's this connection between the Parah Aduma and between the different dimensions of Galut. And the Rebbe asked a number of very, very pointed questions about that. It doesn't seem to add up. And in order to understand that, which is what we're going to focus on today, the Rebbe talks about the mitzvah of Parah Aduma as it represents life itself or the entire Torah itself. And that's where we're going to begin from. I figured they're never going to answer the original questions, so why bother going through them? But we're going to focus on the body of the opening salvo of the Maimer, which is a biur, an explanation on the concept of Parah Aduma. The thing is like this, the hine. Mitzvah's Parah Aduma, the mitzvah of the Parah Aduma, the red heifer, it is kishma, like its name. What's its name in the Torah? In the Torah, the name of this mitzvah is Chukas Kol HaTorah, the statute of the Torah. It doesn't say the statute of the heifer. It doesn't say the statute of the cow. It says the statute of the Torah. So it says, Zeis, this is Chukas HaTorah. This is the statute of the Torah. I know. That is to say, Sheba, that within this mitzvah, Merumas Kol Inyan HaTorah. This is one holy cow. The whole Torah is wrapped up here. The whole Torah. But how could that be? It's just one mitzvah. The kevon shalimud mevi l'dei maisa. And because all Torah, all study of Torah, must necessarily lead to observance, you can't satisfy Hashem's desire of you academically just by learning Torah. So if all the Torah that you are involved with is only cerebral, you just learn about ideas, but you don't do it. In fact, if you learn not to fulfill, you miss the whole point. The whole point of limud, the whole point of learning Torah, as the Gemara says in Masechet Kiddushin on page 40, where it discusses the virtue of study versus the virtue of observance of action, is that limud is supposed to be mevi l'dei maisa. So the Rebbe says, well, if Torah study must lead us in a direction of action, merumas bagam klolus inyan hamitzvos, then this red heifer, he's such a holy cow, not only does he include the whole Torah, but he also includes all the mitzvos as well. All the Torah and all the mitzvos are going to be included here. How could that be? So the thing is like this, and here the Rebbe draws on a famous teaching of the Alter Rebbe, which is documented in Likutei Torah. If one wants to create the summation of everything that Torah and mitzvahs represents, you can do it in two words. These are the two words of the terminology of advance and retreat, or rush forward and then kind of return back. This is similar to the concept of the candle or the flame or the lamp being a metaphor for the neshama. What is the metaphor? What does the neshama, the flame, do? The flame seems to rush up, and then it comes down. It wants to take leave of its wick, and then it knows if it takes leave of its wick, it won't be anymore. So it comes back to refuel. And then it consumes fresh fuel, and it begins to rush, move forward again, and then it comes back. And we say that the candle, the lamp, is nishmas adam. That represents the soul of a person. Not only does this represent the soul of a person, but in fact, ultimately, this becomes a paradigm for the entire Torah. In other words, this is a totally Kabbalistic idea, a totally mystical concept, where we can look at all of Torah and mitzvahs and see it as ratzai, which represents the yearning, the drive, the desire, the rush of the spirit, and then followed by shuv, which comes from the notion of the neshama being restored, returning, calming down, getting grounded, getting tethered, and then again experiencing that rush. On a very literal level, every human being experiences a fluctuation in life. Some people call it moods, or the desire for something more than monotony. And at the same time, inasmuch as every one of us craves a little bit of action and wants something which is fresh and new, we also deeply crave monotony without realizing it. We just want our comfort zone. We want to know exactly what's going to happen. We like predictability. We enjoy the fact that we have a place to call home. So people want to leave home, but then they can't wait to get home. They all want to go on vacation. Everybody wants to go on holiday. Everyone wants to go away and see something different. And as soon as they go there, they just say, can't wait to get home again. Home, sweet home. This can be even the small children. My daughter wants to go outside all the time now. She's always saying, bye-bye, bye-bye. I don't know, it's like she's not happy. She's cooped up. She wants to be out there. Finally, the weather's like, right? But she gets out. Then eventually she wants to go back. And this is human nature. So this represents the concept of all spiritual reality and ultimately Torah mitzvahs. The prophet Ezekiel says that he saw this image, and the image was Achayas Ratzi V'Shev. He saw the angels, and he saw this kind of tension or this kind of pulsating energy with the angels. They were Ratzi, rushing forward, and Shev, and returning. What does this mean? So Al Derech Zeh Hoyeh B'Par Aduma. The Par Aduma contained or comprised within itself both elements, the element of the rush forward, as well as the return, the desire for stability. On one hand, in order to create the Par Aduma, you had to have Sreifas HaPara. You needed to have the burning of the Par Aduma, the fire. This is Inyan HaRatzi. This represents the concept of the rush forward. Like the Alter Rebbe explains in the fourth part of Tanya, Shekol Dover Yesh Beidalad Yesedis. Everything in the world is comprised. Everything in the material world is made of four elements. Now, this sounds very similar to what the Greeks said in antiquity about the elements of fire, water, and wind, and earth. But of course, it doesn't have to be translated that way. Although Esh Ruach Mayim Ofer can be translated that way, can just as well be translated as energy and gas, as solid and liquid, which really are the amino acids, the basic building blocks of all of existence. So Esh Ruach Mayim Ofer is what everything is comprised of. Val Yedeh HaSreifa, and when there's a fire, Hini Gimel HaYesedes HaDakim. So then the three less dense or more refined dimensions, the three less dense or less crass elements, which are energy, gas, and liquid, Esh Ruach HaMayim, Oilim L'mayla. They kind of evaporate into the atmosphere. Ulamata, and below Nisha Raka Yesed Ravi. What's left on the ground is only the fourth dimension, only the fourth element, which is Seid HaOfer, which is earth, soil, or ashes. Whichever word you choose for it, it's solid. So you have whatever it might be. Once it's burned, it looks the same. No matter how beautiful, no matter how luscious, no matter how phenomenal, fantastic, once burned, it's burned. All the style and the substance, it's all drained after a fire. It's all gone. What's left is just charred remains. That's the nature of fire. And really, scientifically speaking, if you want to talk about nuclear physics, the fire is the release of electrons. Electrons hold together protons and neutrons. So when you release the electrons, you'll get a sensation of heat. You get a sensation of light. And what will happen is that the subatomic structure will collapse. And when that structure collapses, there'll be liquid that's released, there'll be gas that's released, and depending on how flammable something is, will be how fast it burns, how slow it burns. But in the end, what's left is only the charred remains, only the earth or soil. So levad zois, besides this, with regard to the Par Aduma, besides the fire, and fire's rage, and fire's, so to speak, it releases things, and they go up in this cloud of smoke. But levadze sayyab par aduma in amayim. They also had the idea of water with the Par Aduma. And that was a very, very critical element in the Par Aduma. You couldn't just use any water. Very specific halachas on what kind of water could be used, how it is drawn, by whom it is drawn, when it is drawn, and what could go wrong in the act of drawing or setting that water aside. And it's almost as onerous to draw the water as it is to burn the cow. So we have, within the Par Aduma, a tremendous emphasis on the ashes, which is created through fire, but at the same time, the Par Aduma also emphasizes the concept of water. The lefichach, this is the reason that nahare samachazvim, that waters of deceit or rivers of deceit. And what is a river of deceit that the Mishnah and Parah explains to us? Achas l'sheva shanim. If it dries up, even once in 7 years, psulim l'kiddush me'achatas, then it cannot be used for the sanctification of what's called me'achatas. And me'achatas, the Mishnah and Parah tells us, is the special water that has to be used in order to create the solution that brings about ritual impurity for somebody who has strayed off the path of purity to the point of being of total disconnect. And that water represents the idea of shuv. Water doesn't rise, water falls. All water falls, right? Niagara rises? No, Niagara falls. That's how water is. The nature of water falls. So water always falls, and therefore it always represents the idea of going back to basics, being tethered, not rushing, not running away, but rather coming back and gathering in a pool. That's the concept of water. So we have within the Parah Aduma the idea of Efer Umayim, and only when Efer and Mayim, only when ashes and water are mixed together, do you have the solution that can bring you the ritual purity, which this represents, Ratzoy, the rush forward, represented by the fire, and then the Shuv.
But you only have the ashes, they're staying down here also.
I understood, the ashes don't fly away. But the point is, the ashes are created out of fire. You needed the element of fire and the element of water. You can't put fire in a box. It's not going to stay there. Okay. This is the evidence of a fire. When archaeologists dig, going under layers of the ground, revealing crusts of earth that haven't been seen the light of day for thousands of years, and they said, oh, we know there was a fire here. How do they know? What's the evidence of a fire? When they find the ashes. So the ashes are the evidence of the fire. So in addition to fire and water, Hayatzarich liyestro also had to be nesinas eitz erez va'ezev. You needed a plank, a piece of wood from a cedar, and there had to be a shrub, and that shrub was called an ezev, a very low-lying shrub. Shezem meira klolos avedus ha'adam. Here we see something which is indicative of a person's efforts in avedus Hashem. Shehi b'sheva hamides. Avodas Hashem, the service of Hashem, is couched within the frame of one's midas. Not so much one's mind. The truth is that we're not capable of transforming our minds. If a person thinks a certain way, then that's the way their minds work. So well, change your mind. Don't be so creative. Be more analytical. It doesn't work that way. People who are creative are always going to be creative. You can harness creativity. You can marshal creativity. You cannot lose creativity. Certainly not easily. You person who's analytical in nature, that's what they are. Then that's the way they look at things. Some people see what's missing. Some people see what can be added. It's a different way the mind works. The transformation of the intellectual faculties is something that's very much rooted in a futuristic reality, like the Mitzvah Rebbe explains in the Maimon Al-Tasa Tzmayev. So what can we change? We can change our midas. You can change your midas. In fact, you're supposed to change your midas. Hashem gave every one of us midas that are unwholesome. A midah is the way I relate, a measure, the measures to which I relate to what's outside of me. Some people are excitable, some people are morose. Some people are engaging, some people are shy, and they distance others. Everybody has different midas, but you can change yourself. In fact, the whole Yiddishkeit is l'shanos teva hamidas, to change the nature of the midas, not just the natural midas, midas of ativim. Teva hamidas, even the nature of the mida, which means even a good mida, you have to change. That means if somebody has midas hanadvanas, he's a generous person, he has to work on his generosity so that it becomes generosity, not by default, not by rote, not by instinct, but rather by avodas Hashem. And like the Rambam says, how do you change a mida? Through copious action. You do something again and again and again. The hand that gives tzedakah constantly eventually will change the person. The person will become a kinder person. So the concept of midas is what we're supposed to work at changing. And midas b'chlal shayachim l'suga tzemeach. Midas in general, as I explained in many places, are related to the idea of vegetation. Because it doesn't really get untethered and leave. It always remains rooted. But it can grow. It can develop. V'hanesina The placing of the water was, we used the lowest form of vegetation, which is the azev. You took the shrub, and on the other hand, there was also this erez, this piece of wood from the cedar. It says, not just any cedar, but the cedars of Lebanon. Which the cedars of Lebanon were famous for being the tallest, straightest tree you could get. Now there is a form of cedar which grows crooked, and that's called shittim. That's the atze shittim. That's what they had to make the mishkan of. And that's another story, why they had to use wood that always grows and veers to a side. That also has a very important lesson. But here we didn't need atze shittim. Here we needed erez balvanen. Erez balvanen is the straightest of woods, the straightest of poles that you get out of it. And then you had v'adha ezev asher yoytze bikir. So this is, of course, a pasuk in Melachim Aleph, and it speaks about the full range, the full gamut. It says from the tallest of cedars to the low-lying shrubs. It encapsulates the highs and lows, the full range of vegetation. This is why the paraduma is not just any red heifer, but in fact a really holy cow, that it becomes the chukah, it becomes the poster boy for the entire Torah. Shehi klalos kol ha-Torah mitzvos. It represents all of Torah mitzvos. It has the idea of ratzav v'shoy, fire and water, the rush and the return, the advance and the retreat, that has within it the full range of tzemeach, of vegetation, which is symbolic of the concept of midas. Okay, v'hinei. Ma shepara aduma, you can turn the pages over now, the other side. This that the para aduma, hichukas ha-Torah dafka, the fact that the para aduma is not just representative of Torah, it's not just emblematic of Torah, it's chukas ha-Torah, it's the statute of the Torah. Ha-inyin hu, the thing is like this. Dehini enyanesh ha-para aduma, the notion of para aduma, what these ashes of the red heifer mixed with water, the solution, what's it all about? It's all about latair es hatuma. It's all about purifying that which is impure. Not just any impurity, but the tuma hachi chamura, the profoundest and most pernicious, the worst form of ritual impurity, which that's called tumas meis. That's called a ritual impurity engendered to gezunt through the concept of death. Va'ad, shemishum ze, niskarkemu ponav shomesha. This impurity is so profound, so intense, so overwhelming, that when Moshe Rabbeinu became aware of it, his face darkened. He looked at this person and what this person represents, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't know. I don't know how this person could ever come back. I don't know how somebody who can be within the clutches of death, which is emptiness and vacuousness, devoid of life, literally separated from God, because God is life and this is death. Moshe Rabbeinu said, how do you come back from that? How do you escape a black hole? He said, it's impossible to get out of this. Uba Aveda, and in the level of Aveda, Hareza Klolas in Yina Yerida, this represents the concept then of the Neshama coming down. Shanasa Yedei Yeridas HaNeshama L'mata. It happens through the Neshama coming below. This is really interesting. In other words, what represents the spiritual concept of death? Birth. What necessarily has to happen before death happens? You have to get born first. You have to be alive to die. In other words, you have to come into this world in a living sense, material, physical, corporeal life, in order for there to be physical, material, corporeal death. So there has to be a yerida, a neshama coming down into this world, in order for a neshama to be separated from something. If you're never born, you could never die. Souls don't die. Only a person born who was born could die. So this represents the whole yirida, the whole descent of a neshama coming down to begin with, which is this almost inexplicable reality when a neshama leaves behind the highest and holiest of realities to come into a very unholy, and it would seem unwholesome reality. The afal pikin, and nonetheless, he nehapore mitaheres as tumas meis. So tumas meis, which one could argue is even a representation of life itself, because life is what leads to Tumas Meis. But the Parah Aduma allows for purity from that. Acha Tahara Mevia Lidei Kedusha. We say in the Mishnah that there are various steps where one in domino effect leads to the other, and Tahara, purity, brings to Kedusha, which means to cleaving, separateness, to being one with Hashem. In other words, that through the Parah Aduma, through the Tahara, she'efshal adam likanes l'teich mikdash, a person is able to enter into or be absorbed into the precincts of the Mishkan, of the Mikdash, which a Mikdash is a Mishkan and a Mikdash is a Mikdash. It comes in the two words of Kedusha and Shechina. Mikdash and Mishkan mean holiness and presence, the presence of God and the concept of holy scrimmage. And how can we enter into the orbit of holiness? How can we be absorbed into this scrimmage of holiness? The answer is specifically through the Parah Aduma. That was the requisite. And what could you do once you're in the Mishkan? What could you do once you're in the Mikdash? Yeah, what kind of service? Korbanis. La'akriv sham, to bring over their korbanis. What is a korban? Ah, korban, which as we spoke about so many times, represents the term of kiruv, closeness, that raza de korbana, that as it is stated in the Zohar, this mystery of the korban is oila, is able to rise to raza de insaif, to the very mystery of the infinitude of divinity, of godliness. Shehu'inyin ha'ratzoi, Milmata b'yeser ad l'mayla b'yeser. So in other words, the korban represents the yearning that comes from the lowest place, taking it into the highest place. You take an animal, the most physical of things, and this becomes a korban that gets us consumed, so to speak, in a holy energy and a holy fire. Hayna b'b'chinas arza shalamata, taking something from earth, taking something from the lowest level, me'eretz tam, al b'chinas shamayma, to the level of what's called heavens. But this is the concept of not just heaven, but Shemaima, the highest of heavens. In order to be most effective, you have to have the greatest power ability. That which comes from the highest place can come down to the lowest place. The person who is most brilliant can bring the wisdom down to the lowest common denominator. That's, of course, why Shlomo HaMelech's mastery is in creating metaphors, in telling stories. Not that he was a creative writer, he told funny stories. Because Shlomo HaMelech was able to take the highest madrigas, the highest stories, the highest realities, the highest thought, and bring it to Shlesh Alef and Mashal. He used stories and metaphors as vehicles, as conventions, to bring the wisdom down to the lowest common denominator. And that's because he's the wisest, because he was Chacham Mikol Adam. The Kol HaGaveya Yeser, there's this famous maxim, mystical maxim, of whatever comes from a higher place, Yored Lamata Yeser, can come to a lower place. Zehu. And this, my dear friends, is Inyan Chukas HaTorah. This is the concept. This is why it says the Parah Aduma is not just a mitzvah that represents Torah, but specifically represents Chukas HaTorah. Sha'akoyach L'taher, that the power, wherewithal, and ability to transform, to purify, even this form of Tumah, the lowest form of Tumah, the form of Tumah that's emblematic of death and represents total disconnect from Hashem. Nimshech bebechinas chukas ha-teirah, that comes from the highest level of Teirah. The idea of chukas ha-teirah, which the Alter Rebbe explains, is connected to the concept of chakika, of engraved, the engraved letters of Teirah. There are different letters of Teirah. There are letters that are written on parchment, and those letters which has a foreign substance called ink that's fused onto the parchment could always be separated. And then there is the chakika, the letters that are engraved, the letters of the luchos, which are one with the substance that the writing is on itself. That's Bechinas HaTeirah, Shibishar Shomakere, that represents the highest form and the highest level of Teirah, the source of all Teirah. So, what have we accomplished here this morning? We've come to understand how the Parah Aduma represents life itself, the Teirah itself, and why it conveys to us the power and the ability of taking the highest form of holiness and spirituality, the greatest expression of divinity, the highest level of Teirah, and utilizing that to elevate the lowest common denominator, so that even that somebody who's Tamei Meis, who's totally distant from Hashem, should be able to enter into the precinct of Migdash and Mishkan, to come face to face with Shechina, and to perform the concept of Karban, of Kirov, of closeness to Hashem, which Raza de Karbana, the mystery of that Karban, penetrates the deepest essence of oneness, Raza de Ein Seif.
And that's, is it spiritual cleansing as opposed to physical cleansing?
It has certainly nothing to do with physical cleansing. Taking water with ashes in it does not make you physically clean. Mm-hmm. And nothing about the Parah Aduma makes sense per se.
Right. So the ashes represent the highest? the water represents the lowest.
No. The ashes represent the idea of fire or ratzi, the spiritual rush forward.
Rush forward.
That's what the ashes, which are the remnants of the fire, represent. The water represents the shuv, because water falls. The eitzer is, and the ezev and the erez represent the full gamut of vegetation, full gamut of midas, from the highest madeg of midas to the lowest level of midas. And all of this is es chukas ha-teira, because it represents the concept of chakika, the deepest essence of teira, which allows for an elevation of that which falls into the lowest level. And that's why the paraduma.
I understand that spiritual, that kabonas, okay, in other words, kiruv, is a form of spiritual cleansing as well.
You're brave. I couldn't.
It is certainly spiritual. It's not physical. When you burn an animal, no, the cleansing through paraduma allows us to have a karban, allows us to have that closeness to Hashem. Kiruv akeches v'achushim. It allows us to come close. The paraduma is the requisite that allows us into the Beis HaMikdash.
So it's a segue.
It's the segue, but it's what can it can lift us up from the lowest level. Much more written, but we're out of time.